Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz, episode 59 for March 7th, 2009. Tux Paint. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show all about open source, free, libre software. And joining us right now, Mr. Randall Schwartz, the Pearl Boy.
Hey, Leo. Good to talk to you again.
You're on a boat right now.
Yes. Does it sound, I should have had sound effects. Had a little...
Remember when we did TWiT on the boat and the captain comes on and says, "We are now crossing the 18th parallel."
Oh, yes.
It was the funniest thing. It went on for like 10 minutes.
Yep.
The sea is at 14 feet and rising in barometer pressure. And
there wouldn't be an elevation for the sea. Come on, it's sea level.
It's at sea level. I tried to tell him that.
Yes, I'm actually on the 40. Oh, I better get the number right. I think it's the 46th or 47th Insight Cruise. Used to be called Geek Cruises.
That's crazy.
We are at this weekend. We are somewhere between Fort Lauderdale and Aruba and Curacao. I don't know exactly where, depending on what time you're listening to the show.
That's
I guess
so cool.
So it'll be enjoying myself. I'm sure I'm out there in the sun. We're doing Evolution Emanation, which is going to have a lot of programs by some very cool people, including Steve Mirsky, one of the senior editors at Scientific American Magazine.
That's good timing. It was just Darwin's bicentennial.
Well, that's actually why they it was no accident, Leo.
This
was all set up because it was near the 200th birthday.
I get it now.
Yeah, so there is some madness to this method of some kind. So we set that up, and so I'm taping stuff for my other podcast on this particular cruise. If you go to podcast.insightcruises.com, you'll see my other weekly podcast. Whoa, what's all that?
don't worry about that. It'll all be explained.
Very soon.
All will be explained momentarily.
So if you're interested in evolution and Darwin and stuff, then you should subscribe to that podcast, because I'll be taking those programs and putting them into the feed for podcast at insightcruises.com, another weekly free feature of Randall Schwartz's podcast empire.
I'm excited about that. In fact, I wish I were going on that cruise. That sounds so cool.
My dad...
He's a marine paleo, and I don't know what he is, but he taught Darwin courses. He's a marine paleontologist.
Ah, there we go. Okay.
Paleoecologist. And he taught for years the basic introduction to Darwin course. And, you know, I grew up surrounded by finches. That's all I want to say about that.
Cool.
So what are we going to do today?
I think we're going to talk to, I don't just think we are. We are going to talk with the creator of the Tux Paint program, Bill Kendrick.
Well, thank goodness, because he's been sitting in my office for the last hour, and I was hoping there was a reason why he was here.
No, people just drop in your office all the time randomly, Leo. That's how it works.
You know, what's interesting is, Bill and I know each other because we did a show on Tux Paint for our parenting show, Jumping Monkeys. Uh-huh. Some time ago.
About a year.
Yeah. And that's how broad and of broad general interest this particular open source project is. I just opened it.
Yeah, it is.
It's full of sound effects, isn't it? I can really tell.
Oh, it's so great.
I better not be opening it at my end then, because you're going to hear a bunch of sound effects from here too.
Yeah, no, I'll do the drawing. You do the talking.
I can do the talking.
So let's say hello to Bill. Hey, Bill, welcome to Floss Weekly.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Tux Paint has how old? How long?
6.5 years.
You know, it reminds me a lot of a Broderbund program. Was it inspired? What was the name of that? Easy?
Kidpix. Kidpix.
Was it inspired by Kidpix?
In the sense that there was nothing like Kidpix for Linux.
Right.
And one of my friends from the Linux user group that I run asked if if I knew of any, and I said, well, no, but I could probably write something.
Oh, little did you know. Little did you know.
And I always wished the GIMP made more sound effects, because I was always doing them myself, you know. Bloop, bloop.
This makes a lot of them.
Yeah, so...
Mm-hmm. So you make... Yeah, that was one thing that Kid Pix did, was do the sound effects. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Always fun.
Yeah, I've actually got... I was... inspired a lot by the old Atari 8-bit stuff.
And, he's wearing, you may not notice this, Randall, but he's wearing an Atari logo t-shirt.
Oh, I saw that on the video feed, yeah.
Atari logo. Now, both Randall and I cut our teeth on Atari 800s.
Excellent.
That's right. Excellent.
Did you?
1200 XL, actually.
Oh, yes. He's a little younger than us, Randall.
Yeah.
Oh, we had the fancy machine.
Oh, the fancy one. Oh, yes. He had 64K of RAM. Mm-hmm.
No, I think it was
that was 128 in that one. No, 64?
64.
Yeah.
Okay.
You and I had 48, Randall.
40. Yeah, that's right.
And that's when RAM was really something.
Yep.
That's right. Now, for the kids at home, this is 48K.
How much did the 800 cost you? How many hundreds of dollars?
Oh, man. Oh. I can't like eight. I don't know. I remember something like that. It was expensive. Like that. And yeah, if you wanted a disk drive.
That's another like 1500 probably.
It was really expensive, and it was a floppy drive.
Like 96K of...
it was ridiculous.
Per side.
Yeah. Didn't that have an audio tape interface?
It did. For all the programs first wrote, which were in BASIC, we save and load from cassette tape. Isn't that
wild? I'm hearing a small voice there.
There is a small voice, and it's not Tux Paint. Nope. This is your son.
This is my son, William.
How old is William?
2 years and 2 months.
So he's younger than Tux Paint.
He's younger than Tux Paint. Yeah.
But he's your chief tester?
Pretty much, yeah.
He's awfully cute.
He's testing that mic,
he's
looks
testing
like.
The mic. I hope he's not making too much noise.
Fine. He's great. We love having him in here. I mean, that's perfectly appropriate.
Blow a kiss to the camera?
Blow a kiss to the camera. See, the camera's right there?
Right there.
Over that funny guy who's taking your picture? It's that one. Yeah.
No,
he won't do it. So you said you ran a Linux user group.
Yeah, I still do. We actually just turned 10 years old in January.
Congratulations. And that's pretty cool.
Had a big party.
Well, Linux itself isn't much older, is it? Well, I guess 92, so Linux,
91, so yeah, 91. It's going to be.
Yeah. What's the name of that group?
Linux Users Group of Davis.
Cool. So. LUGD.
Lugod, actually.
Lugod.
Yeah.
Had you been a programmer before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started in BASIC on the Atari 8-bit. And
makes three of us.
Yeah, I took a CS at Sonoma State up here.
Oh, cool.
And then moved to Davis. And that's when, you know, about 6 months later, somebody asked if there was a group, Linux group in town. And I had just gotten into Linux and... It seemed like no, so we just kind of founded one and went from there.
Linux is one of those operating systems, especially in those days, where you really needed a user group.
Yeah.
You really wanted to have the support of other people figuring out how to install it, how to install software, how to configure it.
Not anymore. You just kind of stick the disk in.
Yeah, so much easier. Does that kind of take the fun out of it?
No, I hate computers inherently, actually. I'm kind of sick of computers. They always...
Easier is better.
Easier is better. I like it when it just works out of the box.
I know.
It's nice to be able to configure it, but I'd rather not if I don't have to. So it's getting to that these days.
So
Windows must be really hard to use then for you.
Windows. Last time I used Windows was XP for work a while ago, and I hated every minute of it.
It's odd. It hasn't gotten any better.
I'm hearing even worse things about.
It might even be getting worse.
Yeah, a lot of DRM fun in the next version. Oh boy.
Somebody asked me what my experience with Windows is, whether I'm a Windows developer, and I said, the only thing I know how to do on Windows is download PuTTY and SSH to a real box.
and Cygwin.
Cygwin.
First thing I do, I get a new Windows box, PuTTY, Cygwin, then I can actually use it.
I have a friend that uses PuTTY to connect to Cygwin because he likes PuTTY better than Cygwin's terminal, so he's even more hardcore. He SSHs into his own
That's pretty funny.
Windows box.
Now we're getting geeky. So this was written in C, C++. What did you?
It's in C.
C, of course, with GCC.
Yeah, exactly. It uses the simple direct media layer library SDL, which is home to many, 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 many games. The guy who wrote SDL actually moved on, and I mean he's still working on SDL, but his day job is working on World of Warcraft for Blizzard.
Oh, really? Oh, so yeah, he knows his graphics.
He knows the stuff. Yeah. Actually, everyone working on SDL is really smart, and they keep things nice and simple, which makes it really portable. So A lot of my other games.
Well, I was going to say, because this runs not just... What did you run it first for? Linux,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, for Linux, yeah. That's all I run at home is Linux.
And now it's running on OS X. It's running on Windows.
And BOS.
BOS.
Wow.
God, who's heard of BOS?
Are you on Haiku, too, or just BOS?
Yeah, yeah.
Haiku is the new open source...
I get the BOS packages after I release the source. I usually get the BOS package before the Mac package.
Is somebody else working on this?
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll port it. You don't do the ports.
I don't do the porting, yeah.
You continue to write it in C on Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And is that library, what is it, STL? Is that
STL, yeah.
Is that portable too? Is that on all those platforms?
STL's on freaking everything. I just discovered one of my games is ported to Wii. If you hack it to
wow.
run homebrew games, you can run one of my other games on a homebrew hacked Wii. You just need your, you know, Legend of Zelda, whatever, crackable version.
That's so cool.
What's the interface for STL? Are you talking really at the low bit level, bitmap, or you've got higher level operations?
You get a surface, and you can copy other surfaces to it, or fill it with rectangles, or get direct pixel access and do it yourself.
Is it object-oriented, or is it all library calls?
It's
procedural?
All library keys. It's just C. Yeah, it's not a widget library. It's really
it's not even
closer
that.
To just like a plain... You know,
gives you calls.
It's a bitmap. It's a painting library, essentially.
It doesn't even really support multiple windows yet. That's coming soon.
Does it do fills for you? Can you do a fill within a region?
Yeah, yeah. You can do a whole, you know, fill a rectangle. And it does, you know, it's sophisticated. It can do alpha blending and stuff like that.
Oh.
But it keeps it really simple, hence the S in the name.
Simple so. DL.
Yep.
Which is design language?
Direct media layer.
Direct. So simple.
Written by Sam Lintingen. The first question I asked him was, is your middle name something starting with a D?
Because it's his initials.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not.
It's not his initials. Well, it's a very fun toy for anybody to play with. I mean, Tux Paint is really
cool. The thing. A lot of people don't realize right off that
his son is in here.
His son is leaving because he's starting to wander around.
Is his name Will?
His name's William. Yeah.
William. See you later.
Good luck, baby.
Oh, he's happy.
He's a papa's boy.
He really loves being around you. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
He gets mad when I leave the house.
Teenagers? They can't wait to get away from you.
You know, I can't wait.
Yeah. You know, yeah. In some ways, it's freedom.
You're going to be gone all night? Oh, thank God. I can sleep.
Yeah. Gone all night? Yeah. Sure, Dad. Give me the keys to the car. Okay. See ya.
Yeah.
Bye. No, I wouldn't. I don't do that. But, you know, I might put Tux Paint on his... Because I bet you all ages... My 14-year-old would probably dig this. He loves drawing.
I have a feeling that the kind of cynical teenagers going through their whole teenager thing probably don't like it. But once you get back to like 18, 19, 20...
Yeah, I love it.
You know, so you got you know, three-year-old...
It's a great toy for me.
Yeah, three-year-old is probably like the earliest. I've heard of two-and-a-half-year-old kids using it.
I'm drawing a brick wall right now. That's what that sounds
like. I was wondering, who's hammering? Oh,
that's
my application. I'm sorry.
That's you.
Dane, keep it down, Dane.
Those are little bricks. These are big bricks.
Yeah, it's the same sound effect. That was cheap.
Yeah, it should be a little deeper.
This show is going to have more sound effects than any other show we've ever done.
Do people come to you and say, you know, I would like to change this feature, may I?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just do it? Like,
oh, yeah.
I'd like to make that brick slower. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, I didn't write the bricks. I didn't write the bricks, the grass, the smudge.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there's a plug-in architecture for tools?
I added a plug-in architecture after somebody contributed some stuff. It was really... This is, you know, I get a little high sometimes. It's, you know, I drink a mocha, and I bike to work, and I get the adrenaline going, and I just have these kind of euphoric epiphanies. And I go, GIMP has a plug-in architecture. Why not Tux Paint? And then I actually go and do it for some
that
reason.
That should be trivial to implement. That's my favorite programmer word.
Yeah.
Oh, that's trivial.
No, I had no idea what I was doing to begin with. So it was a great learning experience. How the heck do I open these libraries externally? Because, you know, it's my apps are usually one giant source file. Kind of.
He's old school, man.
I'm usually the only one working on it, and I don't care how long it takes to compile. But yeah, Tux Paint got up to about 25,000 lines of code when I finally decided to make it a little easier on all my other friends.
You mean a single text file of 25,000 lines?
Yeah, a couple header files, you know, 100 or so, but. Yeah.
That's why you moved to Perl.
Hey, man, you couldn't do a pound include in BASIC, so, you know.
But this is written still in C.
It's all pure C.
Is there any other language scripting?
The whole website's PHP, but there's a little bit of Bash and Python and stuff for some kind of Administrava kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. This is very fun to play with, I have to admit.
So, you know, like those stamps...
Yeah, I downloaded it. It's a 14 mega file. It's not a very big file. And then right next to it,
I thought you were complaining how big it was before.
No, no, no. I was saying right next to it, the stamps, they're 18 megs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're bigger
than
the application. But there are sure a lot. When you download the stamp pack, when you first download it, you just get a Tux stamp.
Yeah.
But if you want more stamps, I would encourage you to get more stamps. There are sure a lot of them.
Well, what I was going to say is the stamps have been the descriptions of the stamps. So it'll say, like, you know, Saturn is the, what is Saturn, fifth or sixth planet of the solar system, and, you know, has rings around it and so forth. That's translatable into, you know, all the 80 plus languages that Tuxpan is translatable into. And we've got some Python on the back end that does
the localization.
The conversion from a PO file, a little text file to the text files.
Ooh,
it uses.
Here's a moon.
This whole show is just going to be Leo playing
doink,
with it.
Like doink, it. Doink. It was the last time he was on, too.
Wow.
I can't help it. It's really fun.
Now you get little encouraging messages,
too. Keep it up. Cool, you do it.
Some of the first text I wrote in the app, and, you know, those five strings haven't changed.
Great. Keep it up. Cool. Good job. But, you know, I like that. I always like games. As silly as that is, I always like games that said, good job.
Yeah.
Well done.
I always like little points floating out of things, stuff like that. So,
yeah. Is that just an array indexed by a random number? I have to get geeky here somewhere.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah. You can, if you would like, to send me a patch with more encouraging strings, and we will. right on.
Can I have a plug-in for it, though? Can I have a dynamically extended list of names?
The encouraging string plug-in.
Yeah.
Be careful what you ask for. You may get lots of email.
Can I do plug-ins in Perl? Have you got that all figured out?
No, not yet. I don't see why not. I mean, I was expecting somebody to jump in and start doing, like, Python or Perl or something, just like in the GIMP, but hasn't happened yet. So, but I'm not going to complain because, you know, I'm in no hurry.
No. So this is just a fun project for you, right? You're not making a living or anything on this, right?
Nope. I wish I could do it full time. As much as I love my day job, I wish I could focus all my energy on this, because there's always something to do with this project, and there's always people to support. And
what is your day job?
My day job is CTO and lead developer for a company called Smashwords.
That's the game stuff.
No. I quit the game job. That was a year ago. Boy, where have you been? No, no. The company I was working for last year got out of the game business and downsized a bit, and I ended up finding something a little bit more interesting and more kind of broadening the scope of the internet. It's a website that allows people to publish their own ebooks. So you upload your Word doc,
cool.
And we spit out, you know, 9 or 12—I don't even remember anymore—different formats. Your book immediately becomes available directly in Stanza on the iPod and the iPhone.
What's the URL for this? I like this.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I heard there that you go. Would. Smashwords.com.
Oh, I know Smashwords.
Oh, you know Smashwords.
I totally know Smashwords. Right. In fact, we should have talked about this. We were talking about getting stuff on the Kindle from PDF. Would Smashwords do that?
PDF as an input file is a little troublesome, because we support all sorts of output files. So, like, plain text, PDB on the palm, the plain text.
Right. So you want to really come from text.
We want to come from text as much as possible. Yeah. So we mostly have novels at this point. But, you know, I mean, obviously we accept anything from the authors, from anybody. And what's great about it is the authors can put it up for free. They can put it up for a price, or they can say, let the reader decide how much they think this book is going to be worth.
Mm-hmm.
And then authors can set up coupons and so forth, and, you know, do little free promotions and things
like
that.
I like this idea. This is a really great idea. Now, this is not an open source project.
This is not open source. Obviously, you know, being something on the web, there's a lot of open source running under the hood.
Sure.
But, which is cool. I mean, it's nice to be able to use Linux on my laptop and SSH into a Linux server and use Linux, you know.
Which distro do you use?
I personally use Kubuntu, which is
the KDE version of Ubuntu.
Yeah, I had KDE 4 shoved down my throat I didn't read carefully enough what I was getting into, because, I tried KDE 4 when the first KDE 4 came out, 4.0, and it was, as many people have pointed out, little rough around the edges. So, fortunately, the one that comes with Kubuntu nowadays is a bit more usable. And I'm liking where they're going. I knew I would, but it's just been kind of hard.
You run it on stock PC hardware? What do you?
I run it on a Dell, actually. I bought a Dell that had a Ubuntu 7.10 or something pre-installed.
It came with it.
Came with it, yeah.
You know, I just bought a Dell laptop, and it's running Windows 7 right now, but I'm really thinking that's what I've got to
do. Is Windows 7 out? I mean,
it's in beta, but it's pretty finished.
Okay.
It's pretty finished. I'm sure your porters are already working on it.
Actually, the guy who does the Windows port doesn't even run Vista, so he's like, I don't know if it works on Vista or not, but there's, you know, just have people email me.
Tell me if it doesn't. It should. That's, why not? There's not doing anything too weird, right? Is the STL library come packaged with the program? I mean, or
on Windows, yeah,
because it doesn't come, but it comes on. It's on Linux already.
STL is available for pretty much every distro.
Yeah.
So it just ends up being a dependency. Just along with,
right,
you know, Battle of Wesnoff and Frozen Bubble and all these other great games you've heard of. They all use STL in the end,
right?
Down the back end. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize how widely used it was.
Yeah, it's really probably about the number one game programming library.
Huh.
Multimedia library, in other words.
Huh.
The other one was Allegro, but I mean, it could be that I'm not really in that community, so I don't see it as much. But I mean, most of the games I've tried messing with on Linux usually depend on STL in the end. So,
Jaw4005 in our chat room says, "This is cool. I'm installing it in all the computers in our daycare."
Oh, excellent.
I bet you get that a lot.
That's a great place. Now, what you're going to need to do as well is look at the configuration program that you can install with TuxPane, or it comes with it on Windows and Mac. And you can actually alter its behavior for younger kids or for disabled kids, so that it has
a
simpler interface. When I was first working on it, I had a friend who said that she had a friend with an autistic child that would kind of get distracted clicking the print button.
Right.
And kind of get in this little loop where they go print and see a paper come out and do print.
Oh, boy.
And
just really want that to happen. Yeah.
And she said, you know, you can turn off printing in TuxPaint, but it would really be nice if you could just say, only let them print every couple minutes. And then in the meantime, just throw up a little error message. And I implemented that right away. I'm like, that's a great idea. That's one of those things that from a kind of accessibility and usability standpoint, it's not something I'm thinking of. Because I obviously don't have a problem getting in a print loop. I have problems with printers, but it's usually they're not working right. It's not that I'm, you know, trying to print too much stuff myself.
This is a great example of open source software, because I can't imagine a big company really adding a print delay timer to their software. That's just not, it's kind of so specialized, and yet what a great thing to have.
Mm-hmm. So how do you manage that? Do you have like a queue somewhere that people can submit suggestions to or in patches to? Is that managed online somewhere?
Well, there's a SourceForge project, so there's bug tracking and feature tracking, but you know, a lot of it just comes from email. This was a friend of mine from Davis, and she just, you know, said, "Hey, Bill," you know, I was standing right next to her when she told me, and I probably jotted it down so I wouldn't forget. But yeah, it comes in all channels. You know, sometimes it's a patch. I often get people who say, like, "I want to do a bunch of work on TuxPaint." I say, "Well, do you want CVS access? You sound like you know what you're doing." You're like, "Well, I don't have time for that, but I'll send you a patch."
There's the question you don't want to hear. Yeah. Do you want CVS access?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Can I load a bunch of responsibility on top of you?
So how many people have commit access then to TuxPaint? I mean, how many people are regular contributors then?
I don't even remember nowadays. A lot of them are translators because, you know, as many people as it takes to program the software, it's translated into 80 languages, so there's really that many more people just working on translations. And they come and go, too. You know, sometimes you get people kind of conflicting. They'll find TuxPaint, an older version on Windows or something, and they'll start seeing that it needs a little bit of updating, and they'll update their version and not realize that it's not the latest. So I'll have to have a little conflict resolution between them and the last person that did the translation. But for the most part, it's pretty smooth. And I actually try to make translation really, really easy. I have a whole page dedicated to, you know, here's all the translation files. Here's the status.
The text
of them.
You need to change.
Yeah. And you know, here's the last time it was updated. And
that's pretty amazing, though. 80 languages. I mean, I can't imagine very many other open source projects that have that broad of a translation base.
Yeah, I was looking at one of the KDEs that came out, and it was like 60.
Wow.
Which is, you know, still more than
wow,
you know, probably Microsoft Word or something like that. They're probably a lot more scaled back. And they're not all 100% translations. So, but I think it's easier for people to contribute once there's a little bit going.
Yeah.
So if somebody gives me a little bit of something, that hopefully encourages other people to finish the work and keep it up to date.
Do you have a Klingon version?
Of course he does.
Well, yeah, you're looking at the website, aren't you? You know, actually, I thought that would be really funny, and I started working on one. But the Klingon English dictionary that my wife, I'll say, has... didn't
for now.
No, actually, it is hers. She's
yeah, but out. Tell us what William, your 2-year-old's favorite show is.
His favorite show is Ship, starring Kirk and Spock and Sulu and Scotty.
Yeah.
also known as Star Trek.
Yeah.
Wow.
He could say all the names of all...
Almost all of them, yeah. Khan. I can get him to scream Khan.
Khan!
Yeah. We haven't shown him that movie. The movie's a little bit more violent than first season episodes where... You know,
from the depths of hell, I spit at thee.
Pretty much, yeah. We watched my wife and I watched that recently while
in
he was
fine
asleep.
Corinthian leather.
That was a lovely furry vest that he wore. Yes,
I heard that was his real chest.
Really,
I heard that it was his real chest, and it was very bald. Actually, it wasn't furry, but
well, he was wearing something furry.
Yeah, they had the most retarded outfits. But one of my favorite scenes in that movie is where Khan gives Kirk 60 seconds to give him the information about Genesis. And as Kirk is stalling for time, Khan is on the screen going, Captain Kirk, just a minute. Admiral, just a minute. It's just so stupid. Yeah, just totally campy.
I'll be with you in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm busy. Don't bother me.
I just got one more level to finish on my handheld game here. Zimit.
It is pretty silly. It's fun. I guess if you can enjoy it as campy fun, then it's probably even more enjoyable.
Star Trek 2, though, is one of my favorite movies of all time.
The Wrath of Khan.
One of my friends commented on the fact that Khan thought he was blowing up Kirk, so he actually died happy. To him, he won.
Oh, yep. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So it's a movie with a happy ending and a happy ending.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good.
So let's bring this back to Tux Bane.
Oh, yeah, right, that. Okay.
Klingon, yeah.
Are there Trek icons for Tux Bane, the buttons, the stamps?
I'm sorry, say again?
Are there Trek stamps?
Oh, I don't see one.
No,
my Trek stamps?
I can't do that.
Oh, yeah, Paramount might not like it.
No, exactly, yeah.
But a third party could...
Yeah, I mean, you can make your own stamps. They're just PNG files. You just drop them in there.
Oh.
You can record yourself yelling, Kapla! And have it play every time you click it. So.
Or the little Khan go, Khan! Khan! That'd be great.
See, well, that's close. That's a crow. Oh, it says the bird's name.
Sometimes.
That's a blackbird.
Some of these are from another open source product called Child's Play. And a number of the stamps are from Wikimedia Commons. That's a great thing is, I think at the time I started Tux Pain, Wikipedia either didn't exist or wasn't really on anybody's radar. And now it's like, I can totally leech off there if I had the time. I can go and just slurp everything down from there.
You're allowed to. Yeah.
All the Creative Commons stuff and just drop it into Tux. I mean, I have to, correct a little bit. You can trim out the backgrounds and so forth. But yeah, it's great that there's such a free resource out there.
So what license is TuxPaint under? Probably the GPL, right?
TuxPaint is the code is GPL. The artwork is variety. Some of it's public domain. Like there's some NASA stuff in there and so forth. But but yeah, it's all makes the Debian people happy. That's the important part because it's actually in Debian. Is it really? It's in Ubuntu.
Oh
yeah.
Well, then it's clean. If Debian will let you do it, if
you can jump over that hoop, you can jump over almost any hoop.
Yeah.
Well, you jump through a hoop.
You hoop jumper.
Sorry, I jumped
over this hoop. Yes.
Excuse me.
This is so much fun. I can't stop. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
No,
you're doing fine.
I'm having so much fun. I'm just playing with it, making shapes.
How many hours a week do you work on this?
It really varies. Far less now that I have a child. And a lot of it's kind of maintenance, somebody sent a new translation update, I'll throw it in there for you, or... Right. Oh crud! There's a bug. Let me fix that bug and put it back in a CVS. But
it might be nice. I mean, this is somebody once told me that a great question for an interview is to ask somebody what he does in his spare time. And you know what I realized, Randall? That's pretty much all we talk to people about is what they do in their spare time. This is the show about what you do with your spare time. Yeah. Open source programming.
Where's my business model?
You don't need one.
Yeah.
You don't need one. No, I think we've talked about, as I said, we talked about it on Jumping Monkeys, our parenting show, and I know tons of parents just really love the fact that they can get a free, fun program that'll run on anything and not have to worry about how much is going to cost. And I just think it's really a great contribution you've made to people.
It's also recession-proof. Well, it was interesting because
they can't fire you from this job.
Exactly. I mean, if I got hit by a bus, it's still going to keep going.
That's kind of a neat feeling.
I hope I don't get hit by a bus. But,
no, but that's a neat feeling, too. Yeah.
And why is it always buses?
That's true. That's a good
point. Biggest thing out there.
But so in December, I discovered the Google Analytics kind of compare website popularity right. service they do. And I said, oh, okay, let me compare my biggest competitor in kind of the commercial world, which is KidPix, which has been around forever.
Right.
And it was interesting because Tux Payne is starting to surpass KidPix in terms of at least website popularity. So I decided, well, what is even at the KidPix website? I don't really pay that much attention to KidPix. I'm usually busy doing my own thing. It's kind of like Linus Torvalds. He doesn't really pay attention to Windows. He's doing his own thing that makes him happy. He's not trying to compete
right.
with somebody specifically. I'm glad to be there as a free alternative to something like KidPix. And you know, more platform agnostic and so forth. But what was interesting is I go kidpix.com and it redirects me to thelearningcompany.com/a bunch of gibberish at the end, which was a 404 page. And I said, oh, well, that's odd. Okay. So let me go to the front page of the Learning Company. And I discovered that
they were sold and bought. And it's like,
as of the day before I looked at the website, I was like, I was looking at it December 18th and it had the date as of December 17th. Our products are no longer available online.
Oh, no.
Like, the entire site's gone. It's replaced with one page that says, we're kaput. I'm like, wow, okay. I wonder if that means KidPix is dead. I mean, that doesn't make me happy, but it...
You outlasted
it
them.
It makes me glad that I decided to do this open source. I mean, I've always been happy that I did it open source because...
Happened in the educational software community, and it just kaput.
Well, school budgets, for one. I mean,
I guess that's it.
When you're paying how many hundreds of dollars for new computers every N years. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, I graduated in 93. So Windows 95 wasn't out yet, but they just bought a whole bunch of 486s.
Yeah,
isn't
that great?
Whole lab full of them.
Yeah.
Man, that must have cost a ton of money and like absolutely obsolete within like a year or two.
That's why they're bitter. It's exactly. Yeah. They said, well, technology investments just really don't pay off.
Yeah.
It must be a very difficult challenge for them.
Well, that's why projects like the Linux Terminal Server project and like the K-12 specific one of that. Now,
yes.
I mean, there's a whole ton of open source school related stuff, school tool. I forget that there's a whole kind of like grading system project for administrative use. All these products that obviously I have no use for because I don't have a school myself.
Right.
But there's a lot of that out there, and it's really kind of answering the needs.
Good.
For the schools.
Good.
And doing it in a free way. And in a lot of ways, like with LTSP, you just buy a big server, you know, it costs a couple $1,000s. You get a whole bunch of thin clients. You never have to upgrade the thin clients. I mean, unless they break. You just upgrade the server every couple of years to, you know, enhancement.
That is sensible.
So yeah, exactly. And it's interesting.
And the software is open source.
All the software is open source, yeah.
So you're not paying these huge amounts for this, you know, vertical software.
Yeah. But that's one of the places where Linux is not super successful, though, is that there isn't a ton of software like TuxPane out there. There's a whole set of them in KDE, the KDE EDU project.
Oh, is there?
There's GCompre, which is for little kids and has a whole suite of little things you can do. Child's Play, which is some other guy's answer to GCompre. And then TuxPane, which is part of Tux for Kids, kind of an umbrella organization. And then there's also, under Tux for Kids, there's Tux of Math Command, which is a kind of a math tutor program, also available for Windows and Mac.
So does William use Linux? He's too young.
Well,
really.
Only in the fact that he knows how to control our Roku Netflix player, so he can watch Star Trek. You know, because that thing—that's a little
Linux
device.
Yeah. When he gets a little older, he'll probably have a Linux machine, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I see no reason to bring Windows in the house if there's, you know, that's the thing. Like,
friends don't let friends bring Windows into the house.
I don't want to have to administer the damn thing.
No.
I mean, if he gets old enough to know how to figure out the registry and INI files and stuff, yeah, he can do it. But he's going to have to save up his allowance, a couple $100 to pay for that.
Dad, my dad never let me have Windows. I was deprived as a child.
Well, you know, my wife and I are such geeks that we're afraid he's going to turn, you know, he's going to be the opposite of us. He's going to be a football playing jock, you know. But,
exactly.
But so far, so good. I mean, he loves the Trek. He likes computers, so...
If you are on a Debian system, it's sudo apt-get install tuxpaint.
Mm-hmm. And you'd probably want tuxpaint-stamps.
And tuxpaint-stamps.
Maybe tuxpaint-config so you get the nice graphical configuration file. If you're afraid of, you know, editing a config file by hand.
It's just so cool. I just thank you for what you've done. And this is, as always with these open source projects, it's a generous gift that you gave the community. And a lot of fun for grown-ups as well as kids. Yeah. And it's online, tuxpaint.org. You can also go there.
Oh, and you can learn all how to contribute. There's a whole help us page. Tells you You don't need to be a programmer. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of artwork and stuff we'd love to have contributed to it. And you know, if you're a photographer or an artist, or if you just know how to cut backgrounds out of a picture, you can, you know, go scour Wikipedia for us and start delivering me some content. And
Is there functionality you'd like to add, or is it more just kind of evolution at this point?
There's a little bit. We actually participated in the Google Summer of Code last year,
which is
the project where they allow, you know, university and college students around the world to participate in an open source project throughout the summer. And then they actually pay them like $4,500 USD for, you know, successfully completing their project. And I'm embarrassed to say, but hey, I've got a 2-year-old that I haven't actually had time to integrate some of the updates that some of these students made. One of them that's not something that needs to be integrated directly, thanks to the plugin architecture now, is actually a really cool one that it uses a handwriting recognition library backend. And it was a woman from India. She wrote a magic tool, a little plugin magic tool that you scribble your letter on the screen and hit a button, and it would transform it into a font. So you scrawl your A on the canvas with a paintbrush, click a little button, and it turns into the letter A.
Wow.
Assuming it, you know, recognizes it. But there, you know, there's a lot of the functionality really that I think it lacks right now has to do with integrating into the variety of crazy school infrastructure. You know, you get a whole network of computers where all the kids log in as the same user on the network, and all of a sudden they're collaborating their file. So there's places where we have to kind of work around interesting configuration decisions at schools.
Yeah, because one of the things I saw is that you don't actually have file names for the pictures. You're just the actual icons of the pictures. Then.
Yeah, exactly. I did it kind of like the old Palm OS. You know, you type your note in and you turn off your Palm, and you turn it back on, and there's your note.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, they're all saved automatically. You don't need to, there's no file system really. But that's actually one of the features that a lot of schools wanted. They wanted the ability to more easily import and export pictures and so forth. So that was one of the Summer of Code projects that I've yet to integrate and make sure it works right. But, yeah, so coming soon. Oh, are we losing power? Or?
I don't know. Light just went out. But, you know, you look good in the dark. Pay no attention to the light. Look at Randall. He doesn't.
I'm just so naturally bright. That's
yeah.
all.
He glows. I don't need lights. He glows.
Where we're going, we don't need lights. So you're looking for people to help you that know C, obviously, and painters and authors, sound artists. Would that?
Mm-hmm, yeah, sound. We have as Leo was showing some of the birds, for example. There's no descriptive sound, so you know you click the blackbird and it just tweets. It doesn't say blackbird afterwards. So you know people who want to record themselves talking and be famous in the 3 to 12 year old range world.
I don't know how famous I want to be in that group, but okay, yeah.
Up against,
I wouldn't mind.
Hannah Montana or whatever the latest Disney thing is, I guess.
Who is that voice on Tuxpan? I love that person. I think he should be a star.
I could do some voiceovers for this. That could be.
Yeah, I regret to say that I'm some of the sound effects, not just voices, but some of the
boinks.
Some of the disguised with Audacity, you know, a little tweaking.
Yeah, there's a lot you could do. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You need to get the guys that do Foley professionally to come in and do some sounds. That would be cool. Right. Two sugar shells.
It's great to meet you, Bill. You do a great program. Anybody wants to know more, tuxpaint.org mm-hmm. is the website, and you could download it there if you're on Windows or Mac, or you could just do an apt-get if you're using a real operating system.
We've also got your RPMs and your DEBs and all that good stuff, and the source, obviously.
Does it ship with any distros?
Yeah, Debian, Ubuntu. It came with the first Asus Triple EPC. It was one of the apps built into it.
I have one right back here. I've got to take a look.
You got your Zandros built in on there?
I do. It came with Zandros. That's right. I forgot. TuxPaint was on it.
There you go.
That's right.
It comes with a Dell Mini 9. Somebody said, "Hey, Bill, your TuxPaint icon's in this Dell ad in the SAC-B." I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
That is so cool.
And I started Googling around and found some snapshots that people were making of, you know, here's Dell's new ad. Wow, these people are too much free time.
You need someone to port it to the iPhone. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, that's the thing. SDL is actually getting ported to the iPhone.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not long now.
The Nintendo DS and the Wii, and I mean,
that's very interesting. So there's a whole new market
since it's all open source on the back end, and you can turn off functionality and so forth. You can dumb it down for platforms that don't have all the great libraries like SVG stuff and so forth. And I'm always happy to make it more portable if there's something that needs to be tweaked a little bit. So you throw it at anything that you can compile on, pretty much.
Because I was thinking maybe you could also integrate the camera, so you could have like a Tux Paint icon that would take a picture, and then you could put that in part of the picture.
I actually have a webcam, which sadly doesn't work with the latest kernel in Ubuntu.
Oh, no.
I have to boot up into an older kernel. But, but yeah, there's a multi-platform webcam library that some guy worked on, or some school, I think. They were doing some bizarre kind of table PC stuff where they'd use a camera to detect where little objects were on your glass table and do some kind of stuff. And they made a multi-platform, it would use QuickTime on the Mac, and it would use Linux
something
video,
else.
Video for Linux on Linux, and something else on Windows. And I was thinking, I need to add that function.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that sooner?
Add it to Text Paint. Yeah.
Because if you get somebody could snap a picture of themselves using the built-in webcams or whatever, and then they could draw on top of it. That's
well,
gotta be...
you know what we need? We need large hats and glasses and mustaches as stamps to stamp,
ooh.
Mr. Potato Head style onto yourself.
This is a new call, a new RFC. We have an RFC for hats, glasses, and mustaches.
Costume parts.
SVG preferred.
An SVG. Everything you do is an SVG. All the
no, it was actually it all started as PNG because SVG was pretty immature at the time, and on top of SDL especially. But it's gotten I had to hammer out a bunch of code to figure out.
Well, yeah, because they scale, so you have to do. It must be easier to work with SVG on the scaling.
It's easier to work. I mean,
it looks better.
It was harder to program.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, it would be more difficult to do
and pulled in a lot more dependencies. So that's one of the options you can turn off. Like I don't know if BOS has Cairo, for example, support yet.
Right.
So the BOS guy just turns off SVG support and it falls back to using whatever PNG or so forth is there.
Cool.
So.
Thank you so much for coming in, Bill, all this way from Davis. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to meet you. And Randall, I guess we are... This is the silliest... You could stay there. This is like the Conan O'Brien show where the guest walks off.
Well, I just got a text message. I got to make sure my...
Do you need to run?
I don't know.
You can run.
Let's see.
Please do. If this were Skype, I would have hung up on you. So I don't usually have people visiting me.
I tweeted to Facebook, kind of. You can do the whole Facebook update, and it's telling me that I've updated my status. Like,
oh, okay.
10 hours.
You heard that buzz.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Facebook. So now that they own everything, it doesn't matter anymore.
No, they rescinded that.
They backed off, yeah. Now they're going to have a user. Of course, by the time you hear this show, it might all have changed once again.
Sure.
And then we're going to have the users decide on what the TOS should be. Fun show, Randall. I know not really, more my speed than yours, since I am the one with children.
Well, that's okay. That's one of the things I like about programming this show and selecting the guests that are coming up is I really do want a big variety of all the way down to the heavy, geeky programming libraries, things like that, all the way up to end user utilities like Tux Paint. This is great. I really enjoy that we have we've talked about this on past shows, but just the breadth of open source software is huge. And I think we're able to demonstrate that in the show that, there's all pieces of every aspect. Everything that's being done in proprietary software somewhere has an open source component
these days. Yeah, it's really, really cool. Coming up on future shows, you're going to get... Now, you're on the cruise for a week.
I'm on the cruise for a week, but we're taping a show ahead of time, like we taped this one ahead of time, which will let me do another show, which I believe will be... Boink. So I think we're going to talk about Boink next week.
All right.
We're also going to then...
That's the program that lets you do SETI at home.
Folding at home. Right. And then following that, we'll have shows on Arduino, the hardware, the user open source programmable hardware. And we've got Wubby coming up after that and Ebox coming up after that. There should be some really good shows. And then everything in April is still a surprise. So we'll just program those in as we get a little closer.
Very good. And your arm feeling better?
Well, let's see. I won't know how my arm will feel a week or two from now. It's not much different than the previous taping.
No arm update.
I was carefully avoiding
this. Don't fall on the boat. That's all I'm saying.
But I am...
Have fun, though. That's going to be a really great cruise. That's going to be so much
Chris
fun.
Chris Barron being the way it is, I'm not able to carry my DSLR, my 40D, because I don't. I can't turn the focus and zoom ring.
You've been on 47 cruises. I think you could probably stop taking pictures.
Well, no, but I mean, we're going to the canal again, and I got some really great 300-millimeter shots last time, and I can't do that with this on this cruise because I can't take my my DSLR because it won't
fit. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy
it. I'll have to enjoy it. Now, and I've got, apparently I've got a room, of course, by the time this show's on, who knows, but apparently I'm scheduled to have I'm sharing a room on the back corner balcony. So I'm like on the tail with a nice balcony looking out on that. So that should be a lot of fun.
I've always wanted those, the ones in the back of the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. The back corner. It's one of the bigger rooms and stuff. And I'm apparently rooming with somebody who I've met before, but
don't remember.
But, well, that could be it. I said, hopefully I haven't left a bad impression. And he said, well, he put up with, he's apparently allowing you to share his room. So I said, okay, well, I guess that'll work then.
Oh, that Randall. Oh, him.
Yes, yes. Well, it'll always be entertaining. It's too bad he'll have to put up with my snoring, but that's okay.
Well, have a lovely cruise, and we will be back next week with more great open source free Libre software. Go to, by the way... the website, if you want, the twit.tv/floss, you could see a list of all the shows upcoming, all the information that Randall's looking for, contact information, so forth. And you can email Randall at stonehenge.com. He's Merlin. Yep.
Merlin with a Y. And you can also follow me on Twitter. It's Merlin with a Y on Twitter.
M-E-R-L-Y-N. Please follow him. He wants more follow. You'll hear all about him going through the canal.
Right, right. I'll be Twittering as many times as I get to someplace that's cheap, because obviously at 40 cents a minute, I won't be doing much Twittering from the ship.
Oh, you know, that's right. The last time I was on one of these cruises, there was no Twitter. I don't know. I may not go on another cruise. I don't know how. What am I going to do? I can't Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Can you Twitter from China?
I'm hoping that the connection works from there.
You know what? Sure. I'm going to turn on the 3G roaming.
Mm.
I'll have a $10,000 iPhone bill, but at least I'll be able to Twitter.
I was going to say, how big is it going to cost? That's going to be crazy.
Oh, man. No, I did that when we were in France. You buy it. It's like $50 for 50 megabytes.
Right.
And tweets aren't that big.
No, definitely small.
Tweets are little. Great to talk to you, Randall Schwartz. Have a great cruise. We'll see you next time on Floss Weekly.